Well, good morning. John Gross with Sensible Technologies, also known as Hydronics Specialties Company and JTG Muir. And this morning we have the pleasure of having Morgan Muir, one of the founders of Radiant Heating in Northern California, to present ThermoBoard, something that he had a great influence on creating. Take it away, Morgan.
Okay, sure enough, I am Morgan Muir. Founding partner of the company that designed and patented ThermoBoard 20 years ago and supplied over 3,000 systems during that time. First, a little housekeeping. Please be sure that your video is not showing and that you are muted. With a larger group, this can be distracting. When you have questions or comments, please type them in chat and we will get to them at the end of the presentation. As always, I try to keep my presentations as brief as possible. So I think what we'll do is, rather than jump right into radiant heating, why not just talk about, get to it, and talk about why ThermoBoard? In 1990, radiant floor heating was commonly called radiant slab heating. Because there were no solutions commonly used for raised floor applications at that time. Maybe 60% of the potential market. Gypcrete filled this vacuum, expanding the radiant market enormously during the 1990s, amongst other things. PEX tubing also was very influential in that growth. But there are better solutions in the making. Climate panel and warm board were early entrees to address the problems of response time, awkward installation, and weight associated with gypcrete or concrete. We'll compare these and other options a little bit later. So, let me just adjust here a little bit. I want to go through the website a little bit. This is thermalboardradiantfloorheating.com. And the picture here somewhat tells a story, and we'll see many more of them. But ThermoBoard is an MDF composite product, very dense, laminated with aluminum, in which the composite board is grooved. And radiant tubing is snapped into it. Some of the charms of this is that it just comes in little 16-inch by 4-foot boards that are easy to handle. The aluminum results in quick response, better control, which is certainly a long time problem in radiant floor heating, both in the slab and gypcrete applications. It's much lighter weight. It's 2 pounds per square foot as opposed to 12 to 14 pounds per square foot for gypsum. It's 5/8 inches thick, so it's low profile. If you're doing a remodel, retrofit, that's a really good feature. Another very important thing in terms of response time is the separate issue of efficiency. And efficiency is the steady state efficiency that all manufacturers publish and is used for designing systems. In other words, what supply water temperature do you need to overcome to meet the heat loss of a room, taking into account all the resistance of flooring goods, et cetera. The good thing about this is that you'll see as we get into comparisons, having aluminum on the surface and a low mass makes the system inherently more efficient, meaning lower operation costs. Now, response time is a separate issue from the thermal efficiency, sometimes confused by people like ThermoBoard. They are, in fact, completely different, not completely, but largely different issues. So let's just take a look at some parts of the website. What I'm going to do is just page down for orientation and then get some of my talking head out of the way here. And then for orientation. So, you know, just the transactional part of this, we make it pretty darn easy. You can just click on the website and fill out a form. In the case of California, John and his company will give you a quote. We will also offer a quote for a design layout. So that for those of you who are not familiar with putting in thermal board, you can do that too. We will also take a look at some installation videos and product comparisons. Just, I'm sure that you use different types of products in the past. You know, how do they stack up? What are the relative merits of the different systems? Just to answer this question as we go by, thermal board can be installed by Radiant contractors, but also general contractors. We find very often, whether the Radiant contractor purchases it or the general contractor puts it in, because no surprise, they know wood and they know how to cut and handle wood and lay out things, and typically can be very cost effective in that. Again, we'll touch again on our layout services, but we provide with every quote a layout surface and design. It just saves a bunch of time if you're not fully familiar with and having put in a lot of these kind of products. It'll just save you money in the long term. And at the end, we're going to go over some frequently asked questions and go through some of these that will hopefully preemptively answer some of your questions. Let me just go here. Okay, just some issues I discussed earlier was why this performs particularly well. One I just want to touch on is low mass, high mass. Radiant floor heating just used to be a high mass operating system. The nice thing about low mass, it just inherently can heat up quickly and cool down quickly. And that cooling down can matter just as much, like when you have solar gain coming in this, a west or southern faced window, you want to turn off the system and have it cool down rapidly, not slowly. We'll also, when we get into comparisons, talk about this sort of graph here, which is used by most engineers and most manufacturers in terms of describing the supply water temperature required to meet a given BTU per square foot in a given space that you're assessing. And these are the R values, the resistance of carpet, tile, hardwood, or any number of different types of flooring goods. And we have charts to determine what R value your assembly is. The importance of this is that whatever we're talking about in hydronics or radiant floor heating, the lower the temperature, the more efficient your system. You're always seeking to have a lower temperature, supply water temperature. That is a direct line to how efficient your system is. So if you have more resistance, if you have underfloor system, et cetera, you'll see that much higher water temperatures are required. That means inherently, just from the get-go, you have a less efficient system. And will cost, the life cycle costing of the system will be much more. So one of the primary reasons we go about this. So here we go. We're gonna get to how it works, and there we are. I just thought there'd be some images that might be useful to you here. As you can see, and we'll see more in installation, this is a very simple installation. The boards, as I said, are 16 by, inches by 4 feet. And they are basically laid out and then glued and stapled down, and the tubing is walked into. Part of the patent for this product is has an undercut groove. So when you walk it in, it snaps in place. It won't come out. And as you put warm water through it, it actually expands right into the groove and gives a very good contact between the tubing and the product itself. This is just demonstrating something that as we actually ask you in our questionnaire for doing a layout, we'll ask you, gee, do you use hardwood? And we will want to orient the board layout is perpendicular to the hardwood if you're using nailable hardwood. Here's just a picture of the two boards we now employ. So you know a little history here. Thermal board for years was a three board system. We recently have moved to a two board system because it's easier to lay out, less product lines and will meet all your needs. Straight or self-evident of going straight runs across a four. This combo can be used for at the end of your loops. It also can be cut in all sorts of fashions for doing infill portions of your project. It's amazing how effectively these can help in a layout. So just to go over this a little bit more, or to reiterate here, it's 5/8 inches thick. It's 3/8 inch tubing can go into it, so standardized size. It's 8 inches on center, not 12 inches that you might see in some other products. And their basic reasons for that is that the laminate we use on thermal board might be thinner, it is thinner than some other products, but we put it, the tubing closer together, and the effect of that is that the net result is the performance is virtually the same as a 12 inch on center product like warm board. There we go. Let me just move down here a little bit. And how it works. Let's just get to some product comparisons. Because you're all already using something else, then this will may help edify why would you use this product as opposed to something else. Now you can see here that we have several. Gypsum is very common out there. There is a product called QuickTrack Viega climate panel, little plywood product that's been out there. Underfloor systems, thermal plate systems, a company called Radiantech promotes them heavily. There's also some plywood, just grooved plywood, plain plywood systems. Thermal board can be put over concrete slab. We have methodologies for doing that, not just on subfloor. Let's take a look, because where we're doing this today in California, there's a lot of warm board projects because they their headquarters is here. And let's take a look. But first, probably the most common, because it's been out there the longest, is the gypsum. The click rate here in our modern COVID-19 times is slow. So this may look familiar to a number of you in terms of gypcrete is pumped out as sort of a big slurpee on a floor. Everything's double plated. It typically goes to the bottom of the double plating, which makes it about 1.5 inches thick. And then it goes through a period of from anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 weeks of curing before you can put down certain flooring goods. So it has the difficulties of that, as well as you have to have a separate contractor that comes in with a big truck, and you have to time your whole project around your gypcrete pour. With thermal board, you don't have to do that. You can just put it in the garage and apply it as needed when your job within the flow of your job. Cost. Gypsum. We have a further study here. You can go in and take a look. But depending on the area in the United States, up to 2,000 square feet for thermal board can be directly competitive when you put in all the costs associated with doing gypcrete. So a lot of people, because of thermal board, thinks everything's super expensive in these types of boards, but we're very competitive actually in the marketplace. Maybe you can see it here, you can click through, there's a full report. It's old at this point, but put together, frankly, by somebody who is a gypcrete person and comparing every aspect of this. Obviously, gypcrete also doesn't take nailed hardwood very well. You have to make expensive, you either have to put a whole new subfloor down or nailers and make nailable hardwoods really difficult under gypcrete. So you know, the gypsum applicators are completely separate. They don't provide a layout of your system. As I said, and I'll say again, you know, you have significant response time different between, a thick thermal mass and a thin one. People want heat when they want it. Let me look down at a couple of these. In California in particular, the 12 to 14 pounds per square foot for gypsum pouring over a subfloor can really affect your joist sizing, and you have to and re-engineer the floor on spanning, which is expensive. And I'm speaking to earthquake zones. That can be a big issue. Here it is, but I'm going to, for the first time, start to orient you to something you should just be generally aware of in radiant floor heating. I showed you the standardized design steady state performance of different kinds of products. There's thermal board. And let's just take a look at this briefly. 15 BTUs per square foot is a common average in modern tight homes now. And if we put an R1 down, and I'll just say an R1 is a thin hardwood. I come down here and it's about, what will we call that? 120 supply water temperature required for that particular condition. If we go over here and we look at R1 on thermal board and 15 BTUs per square foot, we are, it's always interesting trying to find the right line on these things. We are right about 95 degrees. That is an enormous difference in terms of supply water temperature required on a job, and people will be paying and paying and paying over the years for the difference between those two. Again, we'll come back to that. In terms of, that's the most common out there. Let's look at warm board because, again, in Northern California, I know you folks probably bump into it quite a bit. Warm board is the premium product for putting subfloor down. Warm board originally just had a product that was the subfloor. It was an inch and a quarter thick. About, I'm going to say 6 years ago, our patent covers non-structural applications, and warm board came to us about manufacturing their board as a non-structural 3/4 inch thick product. They've come to call warm board R, and they decided just to go ahead and make it and violate our patent, though, it's okay. We've just gone and competed with them. They are a product which is 12 inches on center, but has very thick aluminum, which means that the byproduct of that is they have a very quick response time. If you go to their website, go to their videos, they're over and over again promoting how quickly their product responds. And it does, but not that much more than what we have. And the question becomes, the reason warm board R has a very thick plate is because of structural issues attached to their original product. They couldn't get it to spec out as a subfloor without having very thick aluminum to create a surface that would deal with that problem. It wasn't about thermal performance. The issue that might as well bring up now, because warm board brings it up a great deal, is they conflate performance with a response time. All their tests show putting it at a high water supply water temperature and starting from zero, from cold, and starting up systems and comparing to them. The reality is everybody uses setback thermostats now. You don't start from rock, solid cold very often. You don't shut off your system. You set it back. So those whole systems don't relate to that whole testing parameter doesn't really relate to what's going on in the marketplace. Furthermore, people use weather responsive controls. And so that whole premium of paying for super duper response time really doesn't play into modern systems. It did apply maybe in the 1990, but not now. The chief issue here is that Warmboard R uses, it's very expensive. It costs about $850 a square foot. Thermal board costs less than half that. So they are trying to tell a very expensive story. It's a good product, but the question is, you have to look at it as cost benefit analysis. Does this make sense? Warmboard R uses OSB, chipboard, because it's less expensive. We use another composite board, MDF board, and we'll get into that a little later. It's a denser board, but it's also less expensive than even OSB, which makes us price competitive. They have a much thicker aluminum than we have, but we really feel that's wildly excessive for the application here and really was never intended as part of their performance calculation. Now, look at, if you go deep into Warmboard R's manual, you will find that they actually do put out engineering data, though you wouldn't know it because they mostly just show videos of how fast they are. So in the steady state look at here, we'll go to 20 BTUs per square foot because it's easy on this chart. And we'll go over to, how about one, where we were doing before an R value of one, it's about 100 degrees for their product. Here, with thermal board, you go to, I think we were doing 20 BTUs per square foot. We're at about 105 degrees. So our performance is very close to theirs. In independent testing at Virginia Tech of a whole bunch of different products, including thermal board against Warmboard R, the performance was virtually identical according to their big study. So you are not getting a greater performance with Warmboard R. You are getting a slightly higher response rate. And the question is, how does that really play out in the real world? How often do you need that extreme response rate? So there we are. I know people will, they'll promote heavily. They're the largest marketing company out there in Radiant, the charms of their product. But I think that's a little more to the point. And I'm going to do one more here because maybe there's some of this QuickTrack and climate panel. This is one of the original raised floor product application products. It's plywood, actually fairly low grade, half inch plywood, where they have grooves. Well, they have spaces for you to snap in tubing and curves. They use a very small tubing, 5/16 as opposed to 3/8. So their floor, their characteristics of flow are really impacted. Either you put in about 30% more manifold drops, or you have to put in a much bigger pump and lose your efficiency that way. We are directly competitive with that product. And let me just point out here the enormity and difference and why. QuickTrack has the aluminum plate below it and the plywood on top. And I know it doesn't quite make sense to you, but they did that for patent reasons because they felt their patent could be better. It's not the right thermodynamic. This is published by Uponor. See this more readily. They are about 125 BTUs, 125 degrees that under that condition. Here, if you go to a 20 and an R1, we're at about, over here, we're at about 105. Again, much more efficient system. Less expensive to install, thermal board is. Fewer manifolds, faster to put in. So if you're considering that, I think I would strongly recommend that you take a look at, you know, at this. I'm going to do one more, and I'm going to do one more because people do these kind of systems, which are the underfloor systems with staple up. And most of the time people, there are two reasons people use this. One is they may have an existing condition where there's hardwood floors, for instance, and they don't want to tear up the floors on a retrofit. And that's understandable for using a plate system underneath. Other reason is that people put them in, there's a lot of DIY. The Radiantech is a company that sells these over the internet to homeowners to put in. The other group is people who just say, hey, it works well enough. People don't call me back. That's good enough. Well, you can see that putting these systems is very labor intensive. And I would never recommend putting in a system without aluminum plates. The performance without aluminum plates is miserable for these systems. And I'll go right to what I'm talking about here in terms of performance and why you should really think again if you're going to put in an underfloor system. Back to, I'll go 20 BTUs per square foot, and that's the load in this particular space. And we'll go to R1 and we'll go down, and it's 150 degrees or so to meet the load in that space, because they have the whole subfloor to go through, and then they have the resistance of the flooring materials themselves. It makes it just much harder for more resistance. It's like putting insulation between the heat and the where you want to put it. So here we're about 105 degrees. Now, the real problem with underfloor is that very often they're running in 130 degrees and higher supply water temperatures to get the heat high enough to get through all that resistance. That really nice condensing boiler that you're selling your customer is the high 95% efficient Wunderkin. Doesn't start condensing until it falls below 135, let's say. So when you use a high temperature application here, you're using an 85 or 80%, 6% efficient condensing boiler. So you're taking out all of the much of the benefits, the extra cost people paid for that boiler, just out of the game by using high temperature applications like this. Lower the temperature, the higher the efficiency. So let's just move along here and get more into installation. And I want to do that by trying something here. Well, first of all, look over here. We have installation videos. We have installation sequence pictures. We have installation photos, and we have an installation manual. And I want to give you a quick tour of these things, and let's see whether the bandwidth can handle. Do one little sample video here, and then you can come back and look at them in more depth. This is a retrofit, this is a new installation, and this is a heated wall. You can put thermal board on the wall, you can put it on the ceiling for radiant ceiling heat or cooling. And those are all things that we can discuss with you in more depth of specialty applications, but be aware, they can be done. So let's see how we're doing here in bandwidth. This is Bob Vila.
Morgan, I suggest you talk over Bob and mute Bob. Morgan, we're not hearing the video. Okay.
Okay, that gives you a little taste of all this. You can go in and there's sound for all these various installations. And if you prefer that medium, we also have here for your quick review, or if you want to show somebody quickly, there's a little photo sequence of how the system goes in, step-by-step. And really, this installation is very easy once you get in the groove. And if you have a layout, it becomes very easy indeed. Want to take a quick look here at our installation manual because this has virtually everything you need to know about designing these systems and laying them out, et cetera. Though you may get a layout from us, it's good to know. This is a design manual for designers as well as an installation manual. And I'll just go through to give you a quick look at what the resources are here. So when you actually have a job and you want to go through some of the high points, here's a design related information of flooring good information. We discussed earlier what are the R values of different flooring goods. That's performance data, our layout programs, how to calculate loop lengths, etc. And a step-by-step in how to unpack it, space the boards, align the grooves, that you saw elsewhere. So if this is your first job, go through that. Even if you have a layout, there are all little tips attached to installation that you should be undertaking. And if you're not going to be doing a design layout with us, here is a way for you to think about doing your own on-the-job layout if you think you have the extra time to do that. I want to note that we also have a full section here on cutaways of application, in this case of carpet and carpet pad, possibly a plywood backer sheet here over the product and then the subfloor. Just so you know, sometimes people just put the carpet pad and carpet down. Other times they put a backer sheet here because they might have a point load. They might have a piano, they might have commercial application, et cetera, where point loads are particularly worrisome. So you can go through and look here, and if somebody wants to communicate with you on flooring goods and how they apply your flooring goods subcontractor, you can just go in here and clip it and send it off to them, and they can go, oh, okay, well, here is the standard for putting this in, and I feel comfortable now. So that's something you may find useful here. So a partner involved in this basically wrote the book on flooring good applications over radiant floor heating for the Radiant Panel Association. And we're extremely knowledgeable in our company in the flooring good applications. If that becomes a question for you or something you just want to pop into a little chat to ask us questions at any time. Or frankly, we take calls from subcontractors as well, meaning flooring goods subcontractors. If you just have somebody who is a tough nut, send them our way. We'll be happy to talk to them about this, because often they're just, you know, somewhat rightfully, they are cautious or worried about, you know, their flooring goods and want to make sure everything's done just the way it should be done. In terms of design, if you're an architect or an engineer, because the layout is done, all they have to do is specify the product. They don't have to do the tubing layout and all that, which is can be a real load on them. Again, the application and design manual, I mean, installation manual is basically the same thing. Again, a quick look here on design services. You will, you know, we will do that with sufficient information and give you a price on it. What else should we talk about in this? I think what we want to do is close this with taking a look at some frequently asked questions. It may even be questions in your mind that we can get to before we get to chatting about all this. So let's just zip through some of these. What kind of tubing? 3/8 inch standard PEX, not PEX aluminum PEX, but PEX. Any brand, they're all seem to be pretty darn good now. So as long as they meet standard ASTM requirements, there we are. Again, installing it will depend whether you want to have the general contractor or you are a Radiant contractor and want to do it, both do it. When is it installed? It's installed after sheetrock, right at the end. So there's no stalling your project and having project flow problems associated with gypsum and things like that. It can be right there. Now, does thermal board outgas? It uses MDF. And years ago, back in the 80s, MDF had a lot of formaldehyde in it. It was really bad for people. And they started using MDF in mobile homes. And it was a bad situation, hurting people. Since then, progressively, there's gone to just about no formaldehyde in MDF. Except maybe Chinese product, you never know. So we use only domestic MDF suppliers. The other issue is that it, in any case, it would never be a problem because formaldehyde molecules are large and they can't penetrate aluminum. None of it can get through. So basically the whole surface is sealed already. So we have a independent test that we did or had done looking for testing for formaldehyde, and it found, and it's available, the full report is available right here, zero outgassing at 140 degree supply water temperature over a 2-week period. So while that people can, you know, with the history of MDF, have concerns about that, it just no longer, it does not apply to this product whatsoever. So let's just see if there's anything else here in frequently asked questions that might, I think flooring goods can be used over thermal board. Yes, all of them, and we address it very thoroughly in our application manual. Let's just go through. I think I've answered some of this. Can I nail hardwood directly to thermal board? Yes, you can. Some hardwood people prefer to use longer nails and go right through the thermal board into a subfloor of plywood because they're more comfortable with that. And that's fine. Use longer nails, go right through the hardwood, through the thermal board and into the subfloor. Though that's a matter of preference. Can you glue flooring goods to thermal board? The answer is no, because of the fibrous nature of the MDF, the attachment method of our aluminum, you can't glue it. Can you install a mortar bed over a thermal board? Yes, you can. You just put your normal dry pack down and apply it that way. Will tubing leak destroy thermal board? The answer is thermal board, MDF over the years has become more and more water resistant. And but the answer is if you flood a home and leave it like a second home for an extended period of time over several days, it'll start to distort. Here's the real question. The leaks in a home are 99% of them have to do with plumbing and plumbing leaks because of the high pressure and so many more joints that occur on plumbing. So, and if you have a second home, I highly recommend that you put a moisture sensor and alarm in because it's much more likely you're going to have a plumbing leak problem than a leaking problem with a thermal board system using low pressure 15 PSI system. I also recommend for any radiant system, whether it's thermal board or not, that you isolate your hydronic system from autofill systems and that you have a different device for filling the system periodically. That just avoids any possibility that you, on any hydronic system, can have a catastrophic leak, however unlikely that might be. Yes, of course, the design, we can have multiple locations and multiple zones, and that's part of our layout design service. This is a quick introduction to thermal board about it. We always look forward to any of your requests. Give us a call. In California, you can certainly give John a call or both of us. And we'd be more than happy to discuss applications and to look at different competitive conditions that if you're contractors that you're running into. So with that, I think I'm going to sign off.
Morgan, thank you very much. I'd like to interject just at least one thing here from my experience. I actually installed a couple of these systems in my own home and found that the difference between Apex A and Apex B. The Apex A went in very easily. It was so easy, my wife could do it, or PERT, because she could put it in the pipe in all by herself. Apex B, however, was more difficult and required a rubber mallet to install the Apex B into the thermal board. So I thought that'd be a good tip. So it's a lot faster and easier if you use Apex A or PERT.
Yep. That can speed it up, but certainly any can be used, but that's a good tip, certainly. So with that, I'm gonna sign off and good luck.
Ending recording.